Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Hello and almost Merry Christmas. We're almost there. Yeah, morning. How are we? Yeah. Thanks for coming out on this rainy day. Well, I shared last week some about Jesus. I want to continue talking about him today, and we will obviously into next week as we will be here at Christmas. Christmas Eve is next Sunday. We'll have our service here at normal time, 10 o'clock. Encourage you to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we've got some goodies and coffee and stuff like that as well, so come early as well. I think 9:30. So, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible day. Thank you for being alive and causing us to be alive. And thank you for your word and all that you've done and who you are. And fill us with your wonder. Fill us with really that awe of you and the knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We just want to... You know, there's nothing better to talk about than Jesus. There really isn't. There are a lot of things that get talked about, but there's nothing better to talk about than Jesus. He is everything. He's everything. The one who was, the one who is, and will always be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? The one who has the greatest name, the name above all names, that at some point every single knee will bow. I think that's animals, humans, everything will bow to his name. And whatever creatures God may have made on any other planets and any other solar systems. If there are any, I have no idea. But all will bow to Jesus' name. He not only created everything, but he holds all things together by the word of his power. He is gravity. He holds everything together. There's no name under heaven by which anyone can get saved other than the name of Jesus. Not one person can get saved apart from that name. Isn't that amazing? And his name actually means salvation. He is salvation. He said he is the way, the truth. He's the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. He is everything. He's the Prince of Peace, the one who calms all manner of storms. Real storms that are like weather related and storms in our lives, situations, circumstances. He is the storm calmer. It's one of the things that he does. He is breakthrough. Have you ever needed that? Jesus is breakthrough. He has broken through and he is breaking through and he will break through for you and I into the future. He is deliverance and he is healing. He is Savior, God, and friend, closer than a brother. And he is to have first place in everything. First place in our thinking, first place in our decisions, first place in our day, first place in our nights. He wants to have first place in every single thing. In him we live and move and have our being. I sometimes get asked by people, I'm sure you do too, you know, what... like religion are you? You ever get asked that question? You know, there's lots of answers. There are a lot of answers. But here's what I usually say. I usually say, I am a follower of Jesus, and I believe in the whole of the scriptures. That's usually what I say. And some people, that irritates them. I was with a group of about 40, it was 40, pastors for a weekend from all different denominations and groups, and these three guys trying to pin me down. on what I was. They really wanted to know my theology. It was like this, and they kept diving in there. They were Reformed theology. Calvin is like the Pope to them, and they were really wanting to find out what I believe, because you could feel, you want to look down on those if you don't believe like they believe. I don't like that stuff. And I didn't go there. I just said, I'm a Jesus follower. I believe in all the Bible. I'm not following Calvin. I'm not following Paul or Apollos or anyone else, right? I'm a Jesus follower. I believe in the scriptures, these words that have been given from heaven for us to follow. That's it. So my title, child of God. Your title, child of God. That's who you are. It's your identity. That's an amazing identity. A child of God. Your religion, my religion, Jesus follower. You know, we were called Christians, the followers of Jesus, Jesus followers, were called Christians by people who weren't Christians. Do you realize that? That's where that came from. Now, it's not a bad thing. You can be called a Christian. That's fine. But I don't necessarily, because you say Christian means a lot of things to a lot of different people. You go into the Middle East and you say you're a Christian, instantly they think of crusades and Catholic people. And it's fresh in there, even though it's generations ago, still in their minds, it's the crusaders that came to kill, that came to crush. Even the word crusade isn't the best because of the connotation that it's attached to that. So I'm a Jesus follower. What's my calling? Well, for me, I'm a pastor and prophet. Those are the two callings that God has introduced to me that I am supposed to walk in both of those. What church do I go to? Awake. Who's my wife? Debbie. I've got 5 kids. What's my history? Forgiven. How about that? What's your history? Right? Forgiven, that's my history. What's my future? Eternal life with God. Forever. Wherever he decides that's going to be. With him forever. With the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? How about you? That's your identity. Makes it really easy when we're a Jesus follower. Boy, any other identity and any other, you know, affiliations that form our identity are dangerous. Because they're not fulfilling, for one. But if something changes in that affiliation, it can feel devastating. I've seen that for so many people. If part of my identity is following a personality or a denomination, and those things change or shift or fall or fail or mess up, I've seen many people devastated. Devastated. But if your identity is in being a Jesus follower, guess what? He will never fail. He never has, he never will. His kingdom is unshakable, unbendable, forever. So then you're on solid ground. And if someone else who is a follower of Jesus makes big mistakes, that's okay. That doesn't affect you. That doesn't affect your vertical walk with him or your identity. Philippians 3, verse 7. I'm going to read in several different translations today. I apologize to our overhead people who had to dig all these up. This is the message to start out. Philippians 3, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Paul is saying. Along with everything else I used to take credit for. Remember, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees from the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the 7th day, all those things, or 8th day. He said, I'm throwing all that away. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as my master firsthand, Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. Does it say that up there too? Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. My identity is fully in Him. In the Amplified, Peter said, 3:17, therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men who distort doctrine. There are a lot of those right now, just by the way. There are a lot of those who are distorting doctrine in the world, trying to get people to be okay with things that Jesus is not okay with. There are a lot of those. And don't fall from your own steadfastness of mind, of knowledge, of truth, and faith. Keep those steadfast. Your faith, the knowledge you have in Jesus, keep that. Verse 18, but grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in Him. Don't grow in a religion. Grow in the person of Jesus. Keep growing in Him. Keep learning more about Him. To Him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. In the Passion, that last verse says, but continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep growing in Him. Keep increasing in Him, the knowledge of Him, experience with Him. Let's not be carried away by the errors of unprincipled people who distort doctrine. Paul also calls it demons, doctrines of demons. There are doctrines of demons that have come into many churches. Unfortunately, keep our focus on Jesus. Don't conform to the thinking of this world, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are transformed as our minds are on Jesus. They're not transformed by anybody else's doctrine. They're transformed by Jesus. He's the transformer of our minds. The world, of course, as you know this, we've got huge telescopes and some floating out in space. They're pretty spectacular, actually. I follow these images every day. Some come to my email from both the Hubble and the other telescope, the Webb telescope. I love seeing these images because they declare the glory of God. That's one reason why I watch them. But many people aren't using those to look at the glory of God. They're trying to find aliens. You know, they're waiting for some life somewhere. If there only there's some life somewhere else. Now, there might be, but guess what? That doesn't matter. That's not your hope in finding some squid on another planet. That's not gonna do anything for us. Jewish people who haven't met Jesus yet are still waiting for the Messiah, right? The Muslims are waiting for the Mahdi, their Messiah, waiting for Him. The reality is this, He came. The Messiah came. We've been singing about Him today. He came as a baby. He entered into our experience of being human. Isn't that amazing? Grew up to be a man, paid everything for you and I, so that we can enter His experience in heaven forever with His Father. Incredible. And He's coming again. Of course, His first appearance, He came in secret. No one saw Him. The second coming, everyone says, every single eye will see Him. No eye saw Him in the beginning. Every eye is going to see Him in the end when He returns. There'll be no mistake. He came as life, with life, to bring life, and to give us abundant life. He came to show us how to live, how to die, how to live again, and said, do that daily. Die to yourself, Live in me, with me every day. Abide in me. And if you abide in me, I'll do something. I'll abide in you. And I'm bringing my Father along. That's John 15. If you abide in me, my Father and I, we will abide in you. Paul said in Colossians 1, that's the great mystery. The great mystery of all time is that the Messiah that everyone's waiting for is in you. If you believe in him and you follow him, you've given your life to him, he resides on the inside. The greatest mystery of all time. Even greater than where did the world come from? Or your genealogy is Jesus, the Messiah, God from heaven, living inside of you today. He's the focus of our lives and of eternity. The more we talk about him, the more our attention is upon him, the more we're devoted entirely to him, the more our heart will burn with passion for him. We will see clearly and think clearly and not be distracted by other things. The more we'll be fully alive because he is life. He is abundant life. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My desire is for all of us to grow in our love and experience in Jesus. Every day, that today, if we could look back 5 years from now, we'd go, yeah, I hardly knew him compared to how I know him now. Yeah. I had hardly any experiences compared to what it's like now. May that be our story for every one of us. That's what we're here for. That at the mention of his name, what if we were so in awe of him and daily in awe of him and not losing the wonder that at the mention of his name, our heart leaps. Skips a beat. You know, when you first met your spouse, and that would happen. I remember when I first met my wife, before she was my wife, and if I would catch a glimpse of her car in the same town that we lived in, my heart would skip a beat. That's the way it's supposed to be around Jesus, thinking of him. Oh, yeah. He's amazing. I can't wait to get some more time with him today. Can't wait to talk to him again, hear from him again, feel and sense his presence. We never want to become so familiar that we lose the awe of him. We're going to receive him in his fullness. Worship him without holding back. We don't want to just have church meetings. We want to have experiences with the King. Right? That's what we're here for. To experience him. To love on him. If we have a hold of him, he not only will never let us go, we will never be shaken. And that is huge because the whole earth is going to get shaken. More and more and more. A shaking is coming. First, it starts in the house of God to begin with. Right? That's what the Bible says. But then everything that can be shaken will be. Everything that can be will be. And if we're not hanging on to Jesus and know him so well, then we will be shaken. Shaken to pieces. Shaken to fear. Some people, it says, Jesus said this, there will be people who will cry out for rocks to fall on them. Just crush them. They're so afraid. So afraid of what is happening in the earth. So afraid of what's going on, of other governments and armies and nations and turmoil and climate and all kind of problems. They're just going to cry out just to be crushed. But those who have a hold of Jesus can look up, can smile, can have peace in the midst of any and every storm and difficulty. Remember the disciples on the boat in the storm, thinking they're going to die, crying out? I'm sure I would have done the exact same. And Jesus just calms the storm. He is with them. He's not going to let them die. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you always, says in Matthew 28. Jesus is the answer for yesterday's sorrow, if you have any sorrow, today's concern, and tomorrow's unknown. Sounds cliche, but it's really true. He's the answer for yesterday's sorrow, every concern of today, and everything that's unknown yet ahead. He's the answer. Hold steadfast to him. He's the stronghold that we run into. And we're safe forever. We can run into him at any time. Some of those profound words, the most profound words that have ever been spoken on this planet came across the lips of Jesus. Here are just a few. I read one already, John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is profound. The Lord told me one time to not argue with a Jehovah's Witness person, but to say this scripture only. That was it. That he, Jesus, is the way. He is the truth. He is truth. He's the only way, and he is life. Apart from him, nothing. That's the place to stay in him. John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world, we all know this, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Speaking of himself, the third person right there. They may know you and me. That's eternal life. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. He's got it all. John the Apostle wrote of Jesus, he said, this is the testimony in essence. God gave us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever rejects the Son rejects life. When we receive Jesus, you receive life. Right now. And without him, I mean, your heart might be beating right now. Your lungs might be breathing, but no life. Not that spiritual soul that's fully alive, an eternal life. All that together only comes from Jesus. Tanya Couch shared maybe a year or two ago an experience where she had this, I think it was not utensils, pots and pans, that she didn't know the value of it, and she sold it. Sold all of that and found out that she sold it for a tenth of what it was worth. That'd be a bummer, right? When you do something like that and you don't recognize the value of what you really have. Another friend of mine tells a story of having been gifted at his wedding this beautiful mirror. Well, it wasn't beautiful to him, though. It was a great mirror because the frame was this weird-looking blue color. So he and his wife put it in the garage. It was a gift from friends, so they didn't get rid of it right away. They waited. And then a few years later, they decided to have a garage sale. They put the mirror out. This couple came up, saw it, oohing and aahing. They're shocked. You know, they've got it like $5 on this thing or whatever, get rid of the mirror. And they came over to it and they said, and look, not only is it just what we want, but they left the blue plastic on. And they peeled the plastic off, and it wasn't blue. It was protecting this beautiful mirror. And then they feel like, oh my, we've had that in our garage all this time. Would have been spectacular in a house. It was covered up by blue plastic, and we thought that was part of it. They didn't realize the value of what they really had. Oftentimes, I think we don't see the full value in having the person of Jesus in our lives, having his name on our lips, the power that's in his name, the power that is in his person as we get to know him. And we can be looking for all kinds of other answers and solutions and ways when Jesus is all of those. And we can miss it. I remember one time at night, I don't understand some of these things, but sometimes the enemy will just attack people. I remember feeling an attack in the middle of the night, feeling like I was going to die. Feeling it was pressure on my chest, like there was some sort of demon or something crushing me. And it was scary. Well, I woke up, I could hardly speak and felt like I couldn't breathe and was scared. I don't know if you ever had an experience like that. And what I decided to do and what came to me was just, I've got to say his name. Let me say his name. And so I was trying to speak and finally it would come out, Jesus, Jesus. And that thing started to lift and started to break off of me at his name. Not only will every knee bow, but demons will leave. The demonic flees. I've seen many demons kicked out of people at that name. You can say Yeshua, you can say Jesus, you can say Jesus. But when you're speaking of the person who is God, who lives inside of me, who's at the right hand of the Father as well, at the same time, it is powerful. Not a magic word, a person. He is the most costly and magnificent treasure. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's God with us. Oh, I don't want to take this for granted of who he is. He is truth, life, the way. He is light. He is love. He is freedom. He's the only way to the Father. He's the resurrection and the life, he said. He's the resurrection and the life. He's eternity. He's the Messiah, Savior of the world. His name shakes the earth, pierces the darkness, and every bit of hopelessness. His presence changes everything. And where he is, there is peace because he is the Prince of Peace. So where there is chaos and where if I lack peace, I need to start saying his name. I need to ask for his presence because he is peace. In fact, that's his signature. Peace is a signature. It's like a fingerprint of Jesus, by the way. When you're praying for direction in life, to go a certain direction or to move a certain place or to sell something or to buy something or something, you're looking for direction. What do I do? I'll tell you what, if there isn't peace, then don't. When Jesus leads, there is peace. Not that it is easy, but there is peace. It's part of the signature of the presence of God is the Prince of Peace. It's a wonderful way to, by the way, the opposite of that is stress and anxiety. And if you feel anxious, then that's not the signature of God. In the midst of horrible difficulty, loss, persecution, mistreatment, Jesus knows all about it. And he is there to be with us through all of those things. It's Jesus. We're never alone. And his spirit to comfort and to help. Work through. Give peace to our minds. Reroute our thinking when that's needed. There isn't something else out there, some new program, some new doctrine, some new whatever, some great prophet that's going to, oh, finally. No, we have him. Jesus is the one. I want to read in Colossians here. This is in the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 1. Read this with me. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn heir of all creation. For in him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. He made it all. Everything that's seen, everything that's unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority, it all exists through him and for his purpose. You can't get around him. You can't outsmart him. The enemy with all of his plans and all of his crud and all of his evil, still, it's going to turn out to be Jesus' purpose that's going to happen in the end. He existed before anything was made. And now everything finds completion in him. Verse 18, he is the head of his body, which is the church. That's us. Jesus is the head of us. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all of his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Full circle from the garden. Verse 21, even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. Isn't that true? You were once living in the shadows of your own evil thoughts and actions. He reconnected us back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. He paid it all so we can be in his presence. That's not just in heaven. That's here. And now there is nothing between you and Father God. For he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. If indeed you continue to advance in faith, don't let go of that faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. Never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. Wow, what a passage. Colossians is jam-packed. Jesus is all of these things. The very beginning, he's the divine portrait. The true likeness of the invisible God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.